This morning we're going to be speaking about the Christian warfare. And we're living in a time when we need to be aware of the enemy. You know, so many Christians today have a false concept in the world of who the enemy is. They think the devil is a person dressed up in a red suit with a long tail with a pitchfork in his hand. But the enemy that we have to face is more dangerous than that. The affairs of this world and what's going on in this world as we see now gives you a small glimpse of what's behind these things that are happening. A little of the history of the original state of Satan is mentioned in Ezekiel 28:12-17. And if you get a chance, you can read those later on. I'm going to read one in Isaiah chapter 14, the rebellion and fall of Lucifer. Now, commentators may differ on this. Some believe it's referring to Satan. Lucifer is referring to Satan. Some may differ, but most would agree that this is referring to Satan. He says in verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." You know, Jesus mentioned in his teaching that he beheld Satan falling from heaven as lightning when he, in his fallen condition. You know, we know that it was a beauty that was in Satan. He was such beauty. Pride got the best of him. And basically, the root of all sin is pride and selfishness. This is so important because you need to know the enemy so you can prepare yourself to fight against the enemy. One of the first names we see, the titles and names of Satan, is Satan. What does Satan mean? It means adversary. In the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." We go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and we see the serpent, who was Satan, who was the devil, tempting our first parents, and that's when the fall of Adam and Eve and sin was introduced into the world. The Word of God says, "For by man, sin came into the world." So, we get the blame for the sin that's in the world, mankind. And in 1 Peter 5:8, it said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, we need to read that with seriousness. Peter wasn't just giving us some advice. This is a serious enemy. He hated God. He imitates God. He apes God. He tries to take the place of God, to be worshipped. And he is our adversary. So first of all, we as God's children have an adversary. Someone who is resisting you daily in your Christian life. It's not by accident some things come into your life. You have an adversary. He's also called the accuser. Revelation 12:10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night." Before God day and night. Someone is accusing you before God. Satan, the accuser of the brethren. He's also called the dragon in verse 7 of chapter 12. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." There's a spiritual warfare going on in the world that was going on here. And God opens up His revelation and gives us a glimpse of the spiritual battle that is going on in the heavenlies. Devil means slander. You know, it speaks about in the book of Timothy, I believe, that a deacon's wife is not to be a slanderous person. And that comes from the word devil. The word devil means slander, to slander. He says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, that means slanderer, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. So Satan likes to slander people. Now what Paul was teaching Timothy is that the deacons' wives should not be doing Satan's service. And how is that? Using their tongues to slander other people. Now this is for you and I also, as believers in the local congregation. We should guard against our tongues being used to slander each other. Oh, I would never do that. No, don't say what you would never do. Maybe not intentionally, but sometimes if we're not careful, we can be used to slander someone else if we're not cautious. So we learn from these names of Satan to make sure that we're not following his tactics, following his methods of dealing with people. He's a murderer and a liar. John 8:44, Jesus speaking says, you are your father the devil, and the lust of your father you would do. A lot of people today are doing what comes natural. They're following their lustful nature. They're following their father, the devil. He goes on to say, he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's another thing that we should avoid. What is that? Lying. Some people say, well, you get the truth backwards. No matter how you get it, lying we should put away from us, put off. That's one of the things we're to put off as Christians, lying one to another. We need to be honest one to another. How many times do we lie when we come into church? We come into church like everything is okay, we're wonderful, we're walking in the Lord, and inside we're really fighting the devil, we're really battling, we're really discouraged, we're really depressed. But isn't it hard sometimes to be humble ourselves and confess our faults and say in the midst of the congregation, I'm really down, I need prayer. See, that's what we need. We need to get close to each other as family in church, brothers and sisters, that we can openly confess to each other our needs and not feel ashamed of it. It could be me. It could be Roger. It could be Brother Dave. None of us are exempt from the adversary, beloved. And many times we come into the house of God. We need, if we're in that condition, we need to admit that, come before the congregation, and you don't have to go into detail. Just say, I'm really, really struggling with the devil this week. There's a real battle going on in my life. I really need your prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. How are we going to know what to zero in our prayers if we don't let each other know how what we're going through? And none of us are exempt from these temptations and trials. So remember that. He's a deceiver. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceiveth them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He's a deceiver. You know, we look at around us today at our politicians. We look at our government in America, USA. We look at the things going on in the presidency, in Congress, in the Senate. So many promises are made. They are deceivers. They're deceivers. There's many deceivers gone out into the world. As the Bible says, there's many antichrists in the world today. There's many. And we have to remember, beloved, that there's many deceivers in the world. Your faith has to be in God's Word. And your faith has to be truly in following what God teaches you and be aware of the deceiving world. It's a deceiving world. Satan is called the prince of this world. In John 12:31, Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. He's called the prince of this world. Paul emphasizes that in Ephesians 2:2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Don't be surprised. Sometimes the Christians amaze me of our lack of understanding. We look at the world and say, how can they be so wicked? How can they be so evil? How can they do these things? Because they're doing that which is natural to their condition. They're living in a fallen nature and they're walking according to the course of this world, the prince and power of the air. They're being led by Satan. What else do you think they will do? Beloved, it's only by God's grace that things are not more evil in this world than they are. And as God continually removes His restraining hand, things will become worse and worse. Seducers will become worse. It says, perilous times shall come, and the love of many shall wax cold. And as God removes His restraining grace, and the wickedness of man's heart is revealed, and we see the conditions of governments and all the politicians of the world, as we see these things happening, where they're forming one world government, it's coming. We as believers, be ready and prepared for it. The system of a one world government, a one world religion, the control over the world, a united nation, not a United States, but a united nation. It's coming fast. It's happening fast. Faster than most people realize. The way the events of our government, the politics, the affairs of the world, the money systems, this money system, I believe, is one of the methods they're going to use to bring us all into one world government. To work, bring it to pass. Again, all these things are under the purpose and control of God. We're seeing it develop very rapidly now. I never thought I would see these things happen in my lifetime. But beloved, we're seeing things move at a fast pace now. Very fast. Faster than you realize. I'm not trying to scare anyone here, but we need to face reality. We are living in an age when things are happening so fast, it's hard to understand, to see what's going on until it's done. And remember, all these men that we have set up where they're at have been set up with by God. Obama's where he's at because God put him there for a purpose. He has a purpose in this bringing to pass and ushering in the second coming of Jesus Christ. All the powers of this world are fulfilling His will, whether they know it or not. He's called the tempter. And that's brought out very clear in the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 4 it says, and when the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And this is something that we forget as Christians. Every day of our lives we will be tempted. Not maybe, you will be. You know, in the Word of God, the Christian is to yield himself to God. And that's in the aorist tense in the Greek. That means once and for all, you're committed to the Lord. That should be your attitude. That you once and for all have yielded yourself to God, never to unyield yourself to God, to be His servant, to be in His service, and never to look back. Once you put your hand to the plow, don't look back. This should be the attitude of the Christian. Do we always have that attitude? No, but that needs to be the mark. That needs to be what we keep an eye on. What? To be totally yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ in service. Because the tempter is cunning. And the tempter will try to get to each one of us in various ways. He appealed to the human needs of the man, Jesus Christ, in tempting Him. If thou be the Son of God, you fasted for 40 days, you have the power, command that these stones be made bread. See, He had the power to do it, but not the right to do it, apart from His sovereign God. Sometimes we have the power to do a lot of things, but do we have the right to do it? See, having the power to do something doesn't always make it right. We have the power to drive 95 miles an hour on the expressway out here. But we might get stopped by one of those guys with those lights and said, you know, you got the power, but I got the power in this ticket for you right here, $300. So yeah, we have the power to do a lot of things, but do we have the right to do it? And we have to remember that so many times. That's the reason the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. We're living in very critical times, beloved. We should be men and women of God in prayer. And young people that are born again, they should be children of prayer too. We need to take this serious. We're not at home yet. We're not in heaven yet. We are strangers and pilgrims in the midst of a crooked and adulterous generation, a wicked world, an ungodly world, a world of that's turning more and more ungodly, of homosexual marriages, of ungodliness in all forms, of deceitfulness, murder, cheating, lying. All this is being manifested through our governments and our governments, and it shows you the condition of man, that man is totally depraved. And behind all of this evil is who? Satan, the tempter, the adversary, the devil, the deceiver, the murderer and the liar. He's busy, the prince and power of the air. He's working in this world system to set up His kingdom. He's called the God of this world. Small g. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." You know, the Lord speaks about Satan as snatching the word from the seed that was sown into their hearts, who had no root. He snatches it away. David quoted a verse about not letting it slip, not let the Word of God slip. Take heed to the Word of God. At least any time we let that slip, we should take heed by keeping it in our memory and obeying it that we don't lose it. How many times have you been blessed by a sermon and a week later you can't remember what the preacher said? That's why it's good to get a hold of these tapes, go to get a hold of the CD, put them on and listen to them over and over and over until the truth penetrates your heart into your soul. You should know the truth, and truth shall set you free. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. And God's the only one who can shine into a depraved soul. We cannot do it. I cannot open up your heart and have the gospel go into your soul, but God can. God is the one that gets all the honor. God's the one that gets all the praise when it comes to the opening up of the heart and the gospel, glorious gospel shining into your soul. If you see Jesus in your heart, God is operating in your soul. Be thankful. Be grateful. Because there's many in the world who know not God and who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, know nothing of God, walking around in their total depraved nature, fulfilling desires of the flesh and living under the god of this world, blinded. And then we wonder, why are they living like that? Didn't Paul tell you and I, such were some of you? When we walked in those things, when we're under that nature, we used to live like that, and that's why we're challenged today to follow not the evil way, to put off the old way, to put on the new man. We're challenged to be different. I want to imitate the Lord. I don't want to imitate Satan. When we go the way of sin, when we go the way of evil, who are we imitating? Whether we like it or not, we're imitating Satan. When we follow the Lord and follow righteousness and holiness, who are we imitating? We're imitating the Lord Jesus Christ, who was without blemish and without spot. The Holy One. Satan has awesome power in this world today. Paul brings this out in Ephesians. We will be going here in some previous sermons coming forth, the Lord willing. He says, put on the whole armor of God. As you think about the adversary that we've seen so far, you can see why you need to put on the armor of God. You don't want to walk out there naked. I don't mean with physical clothes. I'm talking about spiritually naked. Not spiritually covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not spiritually covered with the Word of God, not having the truth of God abiding in you, making your choices and decisions according to the Word of God. If we're not making and not being having that part of the armor which is prayer, if we're not walking the Christian life, then we're naked in a spiritual sense, an open victim for Satan to attack us. I hate to say, I believe most Christians today not even aware of what's going on. Paul says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, but most Christians today are. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, there's only one Almighty, and that's God. But Satan has power over us in the sense of being greater in authority and power than we are. Our defense is the Lord. We have to say, we rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord. Satan is an awesome power because of his deceitfulness, his wickedness, his evil, his intentions, his purpose. He's evil in his power. He's over the realm of demons. And some believe the demons are fallen angels that fell with him. They're not spirits of men who die that are evil, but fallen angels or demons. He says in chapter 11 of 14, verse 14 of Luke, and he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, it could be translated demon, the dumb spake, and the people wondered, but some of them said he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, or demons through the devil, Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, and others tempting him saw of him a sign from heaven, but he knowing their thoughts. Here we see there's demons under Satan's control. Now I'm going to say this as far as Christians is concerned. But I'll finish reading this. And he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against it, a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Division is of the devil. A home that is divided will fall. A church that is divided will fall. A man and a wife, a husband and wife that are divided are headed for trouble. That's why a relationship between a man and a woman has to be in the Lord. Because if you marry someone who's not a Christian, you marry someone who's not a servant of the Lord, you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law, the devil. Because he's going to be influencing that individual to be divided, to go against what you make, to go against what you want to do. Satan will be continually working through that individual. It could be the woman, it could be the husband, it could be either one. That's why God said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's not just advice, that's good advice. Because of the consequences. Now I know a lot of young Christians. So, well, you know, maybe I'll convert my mate later on. But that mate never is converted. And that's the danger. The danger when your affections controls your heart and controls your mind, that you can't make a decision based upon God's Word. God says, I shall not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And we say, I'm going to do it anyway. Now, who does that sound like? Satan. I will ascend above the Most High God. I will do this. When we act independent of God's plain scriptural word, we're acting like Satan. And I'll have to say, I'm guilty. If you'd be honest, you'd have to say you've been guilty of wanting to have our own way. We're taught that God's way is the best way. He has a throne. Satan has a throne. It speaks in Revelation 2:13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Now, some of us could be slain for the cause of Christ. You know, we don't have some kind of special guard that we cannot be slaughtered or killed in this world. John the Baptist's head was cut off. Was he any less than we are? Was there sin in John's life so John's head was cut off? No, he was chosen to be a martyr for the glory of God. It's an honor that he was martyred for the cause of Christ. I believe God watches over His children, but He may in His sovereignty have picked you or chosen one of us to be a martyr for His name's sake. Stephen was a man full of the Holy Ghost, but yet God had chosen him to be a martyr for the cause of Christ. And he was stoned to death in the presence of God, and he called on the name of the Lord, saying, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And he laid down his clothes at Paul's feet, Saul's feet at that time. It wasn't an accident that Stephen was stoned or was chosen. God chose him for that. Honor. I called it an honor. I believe that God controls life and death. I know some differ, but I believe God controls it. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. He rules a kingdom. Matthew 12:26 says, "And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" There's a kingdom of darkness in this world, and our young people are bewitched by it. The glamour, the beauty, so from the outward appearance of this world's kingdom, of the sin and the evil and the lust of the world, has a bewitching effect on a young people. The Word of God, Peter says, "Flee youthful lust, which war against the soul." Now, youth are more tempted in the sense of because they're young and full of vitality and full of their body is growing and developing of youthful lust. And God says, we're to flee from that. So we need to pray for our young people. They go through things in their life and in their condition now. They need our prayers, our support, and our guidance. They need counseling from the Word of God. Don't go contrary to the Word. Paul said it's better to marry than to burn. If an individual, young person has uncontrollable lust, what should they do? Paul said you should get married. And we need to be teaching our generation to stay pure until marriage. But Satan the tempter will put the devil or put someone in your life to tempt you. We all have to be guarded. And none of us are exempt. We can be tempted at any time, at any place. Satan never sleeps. He never rests. And you never grow too old that you can be tempted. Just because you've reached 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85, we'll even go up to 100, you're still not beyond Satan's tempting power. He's called an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Sometimes we have to be careful who we hear preach the Word of God. They can be an angel of light. They can sound so good and yet be so deceitful. That's why we need to know the book, beloved. Stay in the book. "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." There's many today preaching and teaching, it doesn't matter how you live, what you do, it doesn't really matter. If you're one of God's children, you'll be saved anyway. Beloved, that's contrary to the book. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Those who are not following Jesus are following the devil. If you follow the devil, you know where your end shall be. "As a tree falleth, so let it lay." Beloved, you shall know them by their fruits, the Lord says. And Jesus says, "Not every man that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Those who are doing works and following, doing evil works and following the devil, following his kingdom, living in his kingdom, I see no hope except the mercy of God in coming to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ before they die. So if you're living an ungodly life, a life of rebellion, a life of following Satan, a life of living in this world's kingdom, you don't have a lot of hope. The only hope you have is that God will bring you to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Satan has power to oppose us. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 5, "Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fire and topaz. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me in 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." There was battle going on, a spiritual battle. Daniel was confessing the sins, his sins and the sins of the people, and his prayers was ascending before the throne of God. And some way in this spiritual kingdom, Satan was trying to hinder the prayers of Daniel. But God sent His angels, and there was warfare. Beloved, there is a spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies we have no concept about. A real spiritual battle. Only because God permits these things. Yes, God can annihilate Satan in a moment. Just snap his finger and he'd be gone. He'd be gone. But all these things are showing the world, the power of God over this world and over the kingdom of darkness. And God will bring down Satan, as we're going to see as we continue on in these verses. I always think about, when I think about America, Russia, China, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, all these nations, remember 1 John 5:19. When you think about the American government that's making decisions which you don't understand, how can they make decisions? This should remind you of why they're making those decisions. Let me read this verse. "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Our government is under the control of Satan, whether we like it or not. Doesn't mean that our God is not sovereign over Satan and our government. He can restrain and He can do as He pleases. But at the same time, we have to remember, when God turns them over to make their decisions according to their fallen nature, that's why these decisions are being made. Abortion. The sins of trying to call the Word of God a hate book. Trying to call Christians that hate are God haters. I mean, hate the homosexuals because we take a stand on marriage and believe in a man and a woman fulfilling the marriage covenant between a male and a woman, and not two males or two females. We take that stand, and all of a sudden we're in the wrong. Beloved, God's Word says it's wrong. It's wrong. It's evil. And one day, God of all the earth will judge this world according to righteousness, and He'll come in power and glory. Then they'll be crying for the mountains to fall on them. They'll be crying for mercy, and there'll be no mercy. There's judgment coming for this world. This is all going to come up again someday. It's not over. The men and the wicked people who kill and slaughter innocent children, and all this wickedness in the world, killing people, it's going to come up again. Judgment is coming. Judgment Day is coming. But the thing I'm getting across to you this morning is that this world system is under the power of Satan. Satan is here to oppose the Christian. He's our adversary. He's a slanderer. He's a resistor. He tempts us. He does all in His power, and that's why we have to take a firm stand. We need to be serious about living the Christian life because of the adversary and because of the glory and honor of God, even above that. Satan's power is only limited by the will of God. This is brought out so clearly in the book of Job. Hast not thou made a hedge about him, Satan talking about Job, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. He can only do what God permits him to do. But he was permitted to do enough things to cause Job to repent in sackcloth and ashes. His children were taken away. His cattle were all destroyed. Whirlwinds, thievery, everything was happening to Job. But Satan couldn't touch his life. But he was permitted to go very far. How far was God allow Satan to come into our lives? To fulfill his purpose. To fulfill his purpose. Look at the Apostle Paul. He didn't have a rose garden, as we say. He didn't have a real simple Christian life. Every way he turned, someone was trying to kill Paul. He's being stoned. He's being whipped with a cat of nine tails. He was being chastened. He was being criticized. He's cast out. Every time Paul turned around, he had to face the enemy. When Paul set out to serve God, Satan set out to persecute him. And they both, when he went down and he gave up his ghost, it's the only time it ended with Paul. He was free then from Satan's power and Satan's rage. Satan hated Paul because Paul was so much like Jesus Christ. So remember, Satan comes under the authority of God's power and will. Now, sometimes we cannot understand these things. Why does God allow Satan to do these things? We just have to bow to the sovereignty of God and say, I don't understand. I know it's revealed. It's for a purpose. We're chastened. We're chastened of the Lord in our lives. And even Paul says that Satan sent a messenger of Satan to buffet him because he wouldn't be lifted up with pride. A lot of times things come into our lives to strip us of pride. Now, I don't know about you, but I have trouble with pride. I have trouble with selfishness. I have trouble with greed. We have to fight against that. Paul, if that wasn't true, Paul wouldn't say in Colossians 3, mortify the deeds of the flesh which are upon the earth. Yes, we have to deal, Christians, with those things in our own lives. We've got to put those things to death. We have to die to those things. We died with Christ at Calvary. Crucifixion happened once and for all. It's not something we're to do. We don't crucify the flesh. Christ did it once and for all at Calvary. Well, we're to reckon those things so, and we're to realize that we died with Christ and we've been crucified to these things, to the flesh. Satan has access to heaven. In the book of Job, you see him ascending up to heaven for the presence of God with the angels, bringing accusations against Job. In the book of Revelation, we read earlier, we see Satan appearing there and bringing accusations against the saints. He's called the prince and power of the air. He works in the heavenlies, referring to demonical sphere kingdom. He works in the earth. As we read this earlier, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, we're not up in the heavenlies. Where are we at? We're on the earth. Satan is walking among us to devour us. Now, he uses many strategies. He wants to devour the family. As the families go, the nation goes, the church goes. You destroy the family, you destroy the nation. Why do you think Satan is pushing homosexuality? Pushing to do away from the marriage concept of man and wife? Because he knows if he can destroy God's institution of the family, he can destroy the nation. He can destroy the world. That's why it's wrong. Because it's against God and God's standard. The power of death. says in Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, referring to Christ, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. In some ways, Satan had the power of death. The wages of sin is death. Sickness and sufferings. You know, in the case of Job, the things that Job suffered, the boils and the sicknesses and the different things that he went through, Satan was behind that. And and when Jesus did his miracles, some of those that were blind, some of those that had some of the diseases, they would walk into the water and the Lord would heal them of those diseases. Here's the thing that we never think about. And I believe Christians can happen to you and I. We have to be so careful. Satan can inject wicked purposes and thoughts into our minds. It says in John 13:2, and supper being ended, the devil having put now into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. He put into his heart, Satan did, to betray him. And what did Peter the apostle say? Lord, be that far from thee. Oh Lord, you're not going to go to the cross. Be that far from thee. And what did the Lord say to Simon Peter? Simon Peter, thou sayest not the things of men, of Satan. Get behind me. Satan was using the apostle Peter to rebuke the Lord not to go to the cross. Now what does that teach you and I? That we need to be so careful. If we find ourselves saying things that are contrary to the Word of God, that Satan is not using our tongue and our mouthpiece to fulfill his purposes. That's why we have to guard against gossip, slander, busybodies, backbitings. None of us are exempt from these things. And I'm sure if God opened up our hearts and showed it up on that back wall there, we'd all be guilty. That's why I'm grateful for the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But since we've been born again, since we've been believers in Jesus Christ, we're following Christ, let us put off those things. Let's put off gossip. Let's put off slander. Let's put off judging one another anymore. Let's put off these things and put on holiness and righteousness and godliness and live godly in this present world. But oh, you can see that. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and his wife lied to, it says here in verse 3, but Peter and said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the place of the land? Him and his wife died that day instantly. In the early church, thank God that didn't continue on. There may not be nobody in the church today. God set them for an example. And instantly they died. They died at Peter's feet. But see, in the beginning, the Lord was showing that the church was the church of Jesus Christ. It was the church of God. And in the early church, they had miracles and they had these different gifts. And God was showing them the holiness of people's lives. And instantly, when they lied, they died. There was no, I'm sorry, forgive me, I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have done it. See, God does hate sin. So we see that Satan can enter into people at times, even God's people, to tempt people. He likes to take away the word out of as it's being preached. You know, the seed falls and Satan will come and snatch it away. And he may come even to Christians who are listening and halfway listening. They got their mind on what they're going to do when they leave the service this morning. They got their mind on some sports activity. They got their mind on this. They got their mind on that. And Satan is using that to snatch away the word so it don't take fruit in your life. He sows false seed. It says in Matthew 13:39, the enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels, the wheat and the tares. Judas was in the first church. And when the Lord said, one of you should betray me, they didn't say, oh, Judas. No, what did they say? Lord, is it I? Until Jesus comes, there will be wheat and tares in the church. And we're not to set up a judgment of who are the wheat and who are the tares. Normally the tares will get so disturbed about hearing the Word of God preached and hearing the things of God that they'll leave and go where it's lukewarm, where it's not strong preaching. Go where they candy cover the gospel. The Lord told Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Can you imagine where you and I would be if the Lord turns us over to the devil? We'd be sifted as wheat. And I believe there's times when God chastens, He uses Satan to chasten us and to chastise us and to humble us and cause us to look up and say, "Lord, I need Thee. I need Thy grace." He hinders us. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Have you often wondered why you try to set out to do good and it seems like every time you do, everything seems to go wrong? You say, "Boy, I tell you what, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be in church every Sunday. I'm going to be on church on Wednesday night. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. My family, we're going to serve the Lord." But it seems like when you make that stand, boy, everything comes against you. Well, that's not surprising. Look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." When you set out to do good, you might as well write it down as a law, you will be hindered some way by Satan. You'll go to pray, the phone will ring. Oh, isn't that a coincidence? Just the time you're going to pray, the phone rings. You're getting ready to go to church, here comes the whole family of your kin. Right at time to go to church. "Oh, I have to stay home. I've got to cook them dinner. I've got to do all of this." Oh, that's how Satan works. And we all can fall into that. But I'm just showing you how Satan can hinder our spiritual lives so easily. You take time for the Word. You know, we should study the Word daily. And you say, "Well, okay, I'm going to read the Word of God this evening." And before you know it, it's 7 o'clock. Before you know it's 8 o'clock. Before you know it's 9 o'clock. And all of a sudden, your eyes are going like this. You read two verses. "Thank you, Lord. Bless me." And you go to sleep. You know, that's how we do. We give the Lord the last minute. As Brother Jeff preached, give the Lord the first fruits. The first fruits. And here's a verse, you know, you thought about over there in Matthew 25. It speaks about, "I was in prison and you visited me not. I was a hunger and you fed me not." He says in Revelation 2:10, "For none of those things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." I believe there's a lot of God's people have been put in prison for the cause of Christ by Satan. They were innocent, but Satan put them there. And I believe you and I today, that everybody who's in prison is not guilty. There's a lot of believers maybe going to prison before it's over with, when things start to change. We as Christians, you that are not in prison, need to visit the ones that are in prison. And I hope if Brother Roger, Brother Dave, and myself end up in prison, you will come and visit us, encourage us, and strengthen us. Now, I'm not looking for that myself. I mean, I'm not looking to go to prison. But who knows what can happen in the future? We just don't know. With the events of the world changing so fast and so rapidly, you get up and be faithful to God's Word. You preach it and proclaim it and don't deny these things. Beloved, may come a day when you will be tossed into prison for preaching the Word of God in truth and not denying the holy faith. I'm going to stop here. I will continue these things later on. But I pray that I said a few things this morning to show you the enemy. He's a real being, spiritual. He's a spirit. He's not something that you can touch. But he's as real as this platform here. He's as real as we are. But he's a spiritual being. And there's demons that are busy working for Satan. Tempting. Satan is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. So I pray this morning that you'll take your adversary seriously and read Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 every day and say, God, help me to take my stand against the enemy. And help me as a Christian not to follow evil. Not to love evil. I think that's what's so depressing about it when you really think about when you do evil, when you follow evil, when you do those things, you're following the footsteps of Satan. Pride, selfishness, wickedness, evil. And only by the grace of God can you be taken from that. It's not in man to save himself. Only the Lord can save us. May we pray. Our gracious and loving Father, I'm so grateful that You are our sufficiency. I'm so glad that You do keep us. We're kept by the power of God. Lord, I'm so glad that we're in Your hand, Lord Jesus, and You're in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out of our Father's hand or Your hand. Lord, if it wasn't for Your keeping grace, none of us would make it. I thank You for Your fatherly chastisement. I thank You for Your fatherly correcting us and teaching us that sin is a hard task, Master. That the way of a transgressor is hard. And the final wages of sin is death. The Lord bless us as we sing our closing hymn. We give You the praise and the honor. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.